I'm Vince Kelvin, and you're listening to my podcast. Tonight, our topic is to define core attraction, a dynamic that is often not really understood. It's easy for a man to rapidly become invested in a woman. Then we start to lose our power. It leaks, and it's not the proper dynamic. Yet, we've seen people do it that way. Everybody does it that way. So we are often unaware that we're still doing it that way, even though we may have some good level of game or not. So it's very important to become more aware of a very simple natural law. Okay? So we're talking about the true dynamic of core attraction. There's a dynamic of attraction in the universe. It's a natural law, meaning that which becomes invested into something else is then no longer the cause. It's at the effect. The moment we begin to invest ourselves into the beauty of a woman, the moment we begin to invest ourselves into her personality, the moment that we invest ourselves in any aspect of her. I'm talking about girls that we don't yet know. We're starting to interact with them. We, from the get-go, are creating an imbalance because unless she has a crush on you, which then would be further strengthened if we didn't invest in that manner, so even then it's counterproductive, it is very unlikely that she's starting to invest in an equal manner towards us. It's also not easy for a woman to invest towards what is invested in her because it violates that natural law of the dynamic of if we become invested into something, then we are controlled by that thing. We're no longer at cause. We are the effect. Now, there's also the natural wiring, of course. Beauty is appealing to us. Of course, we gravitate towards what appears to be better. So if a woman appears to be sweeter, if she appears to be brighter, then it's understandable that it's more appealing to us. There, so far, so good. But we must keep the dynamic well-grounded. So for me, my core base is always this, and it's about returning to this again and again and again. One, it would be wonderful, I'm open to it, if something happened with that person. At the same time, I do not depend on anyone because it's happening regardless. It would be a desperate to think that a girl or a specific situation is our only opportunity. Automatically, we would be very desperate. So, point number two, regardless, it's happening. So, it's not that important. And eventually, I got me, and that's everything. Otherwise, we are starting to develop a form of codependency. We don't feel complete until we have somebody else. That means we're unaware of our own beingness. But it's tricky. It takes being aware of it. It takes working with it. And it takes being willing to admit that more than we know it, we probably were overly invested. Now, before we open the floor for interactions with me, meaning you guys asking questions and so on, think of it this way. This is a little tricky because once we understand that dynamic, and it's the same in business, whomever depends more greatly on somebody else than that other person depends on them, they don't have the odds on their favors. It becomes even more significant, though, in relation to the masculine and the feminine because the dynamic is a woman must be able to gravitate towards what does not gravitate towards her, because she needs that spaciousness to open. So we must take our power back. And most people misunderstand. They think taking my power back is nagging a girl. That's surface stuff. It's neither good or bad. It depends on what's really going on at the core. Many men who are a little desperate, they can become a little bit upset at women. But the dynamic is not at that level. It's not based on men, women. It's based on a natural law of a dynamic that we must honor. So the secret would be to know that if we're in position number one, and to define, to detect if we're in that position, it's fairly simple. Position number one, we would feel that we're not okay if suddenly it goes nowhere and that's it. We never see the girl again. So that's your test. Any woman that you're currently texting, seeing, hope to see, you got something pending. Any woman that you see in front of you and you want to talk to her, from the get-go, check how you feel if you said, I may never, ever see her again. Most likely, a little part of you is going to start to want to resist that. And that's what we need to let go of. That's what we need to heal. So that first position is more than we know it, a position of desperation, because we depend on a person that we don't really know or a person that we are not. If there are women listening to that, they would recognize right away that it is indeed not appealing that a man that does not know them or even a man that knows them would only be okay if they are with her and would start to not feel okay if they are not. Now we raise the bar, my little brothers, because we are talking about the kind of pickup, seduction, game, love, romance, where you are so completely independent that you would be willing to be absolutely fine wherever it goes. But are you? For some, it's mild. For some, is the girl is not texting right away, and there's an unease about that. For others, it might be a little more significant. Sometimes, even those who don't know that they're still affected by that might cave in a little bit. They had a good interaction. It didn't really go anywhere, and they feel less upbeat than they were before. That's still a sign that it's invested. It's over-invested. There should be no investment other than the appreciation of the moment and, most of all, you and your appreciation of the process. So then we may think, okay, the dynamic is for as long as it's there, it reduces the attraction. If it's not there, if you are proactive and you're talking and you're doing your thing, but you're not invested, and if at any point she turns around, she goes, that's enough, and she walks away, you see no wrong with that. You're fine. Now, when we decide to do that, we got to know that eventually, I shouldn't say that, the position number one, we are invested and it pollutes the dynamic. It's off from the get-go, but it may not show right away. It's even possible that we later on end up in a relationship, but the relationship is not really going as well as we wish it would go. Why? Because it was not set correctly from the get-go, because initially we were invested in it. We didn't let it grow of its own. We also then misread responses. We also then insist with candidates that would not be the better ones for us. We also fairly rapidly go from I'm this solid, fun man to I'm again as needy as can be. So that's got to go. If it goes, then we end up in position number two. But the problem with position number two is if we do it so we can get the girl, it brings us back to number one. Position number three is oftentimes when we ease that, not necessarily the women we were in touch with, but very often those women or other ones manifest themselves right away. So I'm opening the floor now to talk more about this or any other aspects of your game. I want to do a little summary. I have to be honest, you know, I opened my eyes not long before beginning the call. It's all good. I'm not attached to anything in particular, but I want to crystallize the points that I've been making so far. There's a dynamic, universal dynamic. That's whether it's for the purpose of persuasion, influence, attraction, the dynamic of manifestation. If we're invested in something, we're no longer the cause, we then the effect. From that perspective of the effect, we become dependent. Big problem at the level of seduction, because to the feminine, the man who's dependent on her is not attractive. He may become a lovely friend that she can share her stories with, girlfriend with a penis, a gopher, a man that will have another function, but not the man that she's melting for. Because that dynamic must be the opposite. It must be her starting to invest while you remain free. The template for that is to come back to that core base, draw it somewhere. You know, this is something I call it the win no matter what triad. It'd be wonderful if something happens. But regardless, it's happening. It does not depend on that one person, that one situation, or even that one relation. See, sometimes a person could be in a relationship and they stay there and it's good. But at some point, it comes to an end. The mistake that many make in that moment is that they don't remember that still you have committed that you were going to have a phenomenal love life, sex, romance, so you can't question that, your ability and your decision, because that one relation came short. You were not really committed. You got to make a decision that it's happening no matter what. And eventually, it's wonderful to be in a relationship, but trust me, I coach many men that are also married. And every 2-3 weeks, their question is, well, maybe, you know, I'll be better just by myself. I coach guys who have 2, 3, 4 girlfriends, and they are also questioning, and it's not easy regardless. So we got to come back to what's the most essential aspect of it. It's you. You got you. And if we come to the marketplace, so to speak, from a place of self-sufficiency, I got me. I'm complete already. I'm good. Now, I of course, I'm a man, and it'd be wonderful during my stay on this planet to also have moments and, you know, we create win-win with a woman, with women. That would be wonderful, but I do not depend on this. And no matter where that may go, I got me, so I'm good already. And I'm always there for me regardless. Now, it's no longer junk. It's no longer codependency. It's no longer something that's empty, that's trying to fill itself through another person. Now, if that resonates, don't feel bad, because that's all of us. That is all of us, and that's women as well. So I think that is the greater healing of relationships in the new decade, because it could also be very easy for a woman to become totally dependent on a guy because she doesn't know that she would eventually be okay on her own. And then there's the loop, because it would be scary for a man to tell a woman, hey, I know you're crazy about me, but I want you to know that you're going to be okay regardless. You would miss me, but you're going to be okay without me. Now, what man would dare to go there? But I promise you, the guy that would dare to go there, the woman would never leave him. The woman would be, there is no way I'm leaving the man who is so self-assured, okay, and so non-needy that he's even telling me that I can't depend on him, that we don't know, you know, maybe I love him to death and one day he passes away before me, or the dynamic changes and so on. And we don't want to leave broken people behind. That would be shallow. So that's the elevation, that's the next level of relations and seduction in the new decade. It's a little scary. So for that, we have 3 positions. Position number 1, we're dependent, we want it. We don't realize that our wanting is taking the better of us. We are leaking our own power, and we're becoming dependent, which reduces the attraction. And it may not be seen right away, but even in the best case, that okay, that you got something good going on. There's a good dynamic. You two, you got something. You know, we would pair you up if somebody was to play a game and say, ah, those two together for the time being, okay? And I know we have guys that you have 2-3 girlfriends calling, and that's all good, okay? But then that would come short because of that dynamic initially. And then our game is reactive. It's not proactive. And then our game is fake because we are faking it to hide that we're still dependent on her because we're not sure. Now, the ideal position, we let go of all of that. And what happens when we do, and the more we do it, is that now the gravitation is there. You know, throughout the years, if it happened once or twice, if it happened just to me, that we could say coincidence. But us taking so many people to that place of, okay, you know what? You're right. I don't need that girl. And then suddenly, as we're doing the process sometimes, for me it happens as I'm doing the process, or within a day or two, either another girl or the girl pops back in. I've had guys that go, oh, you know, she's not texting and so on. I say, well, you realize that you don't need her. But not in a way like, well, fuck her. No. That's not what we're talking about. That's self-sufficiency. You realize, hey, you were okay before you met her and you knew her, so you're okay now. Focus on that. Guy gets it just a little bit more, boom, who texts the girl? But here's the trick. If we go, oh, let me do that so I can still get those girls or I can get girls, then from position number 2, which is not the most ideal one, we're back in number 1. So it's a wonderful loop where we go deeper. And it's an exercise in self-assurance and self-reliance. And make a note of this, okay? Core of attraction is the more self-reliant a man is, the more attractive he is to women. Ultimate self-reliance. Okay, where every woman would be a plus. She could be a wonderful plus. That doesn't mean the guy is an imbecile, you know? Personally, I think that wherever we go, we thrive. So if I'm going to be a lover, even if it's going to be a little flirt, if I'm going to be a fuck buddy, whatever I'm going to be, I'm going to be the best that I can be. I'm not going to treat it lightly. And I'm doing it for me because every moment is an opportunity to find new distinctions, arise, improve, strengthen myself, prepare myself, discover myself, further get to know myself, optimize. But I'm not going to slack off. That's where sometimes the equation comes short for some men because they have a misunderstanding of it. They think we're saying like, well, don't be so nice to her. No, it's not about being nice. It's about you being your best. And automatically, it's super pleasant to be around you. And from that place of self-sufficiency, you will not compromise. And oftentimes, women are more with us than we know it. You know, if you work at this angle, and this is just a brief introduction, okay, but that's a big part of my work currently for myself and for others. If you work it that way, then you're going to start to realize that those very women that you thought were playing hard to get and so on, they were spiritually connected with the fact that you were not fully ready, not for them, but not fully ready into your own blossom. Okay, so that gives a whole new, shines a whole new light on what the community had called a shit test and so on. So ultimately, self-sufficiency would be women are a plus. They're a wonderful plus. And wherever I'm going to go, I'm going to grow and I'm going to be my best. So, of course, if I have a girlfriend, if I have 2 girlfriends, if I have a wife, it's going to be fucking phenomenal. I'm not going to be into something that's not that great. For that, I need to make sure that it's going to be phenomenal. And if there's the slightest little sign that it's not, I'm self-sufficient. So I'm going to announce that I may call it quit. Because I'm self-sufficient, I'm not fearful. Because I know I'm going to be okay. It's never my concern. My concern is not, will I be okay without her? My concern is it okay for me to be with her? Genuinely, not listening to my own dick, not listening to the void in my heart that wants me to have somebody like me because I'm not sure that I like myself. But really from the core. So now I voice things in a new way. It's no longer with anger or anything. You go, listen, you know, there's a place and a time for everything. And maybe you'll be better off. You know, one thing, men will beat around the bush. If a man wants a girl to be more disciplined, if a man wants a girl to be to like him even more. He's going to do everything that he can to discourage her wanting other men. So after a while, women get used to that. But if a man goes, you know what? Maybe there's somebody that's like not as intense as me. No, it's you that I want. Of course, I know it's me that you want, because no man will dare going where I'm going right now, because I have done my work and I'm self-sufficient, and now we can build something. And if love grows from it, that's going to be real love. That's not going to be codependency. And if there's no codependency, we're going to build. We're not going to be bipolar. We're not going to question that thing all the time. But if you slack off, then maybe you're better off elsewhere. I'm not going to judge you. Okay? So this is what I've been playing with. That's quite interesting. It's not easy to digest. I want to be honest, okay? But it's not easy to digest if we still exist in the old paradigm. The paradigms, we must outgrow them fast. See, the old paradigm was that we had to be strong as a man and not show any of that. But we didn't realize that that paradigm was still rooted in dependence. This is the true paradigm in which we're independent. And it starts with where it should start, a me. Now, if a girl, you talk to her and she says something silly about you, it's just a person saying something silly. I don't have to be reactive to that because it means nothing to me. I know me. I don't even think, oh, you're entitled to your own opinion, because in my own reality, what you're saying is a reflection that you're not aware of. Otherwise, you would see something else. You're not seeing what's in front of you. So you probably won't be able to appreciate what you can't see. So that means that you are not for me, and I am for me. So because I am for me and I'm not the man that will compromise and jeopardize myself just so I can get some, then I'm just going to voice that. And if I voice that, then at the same time, I'm a man. I'm not going to stop doing my thing and being sexy. Around women, I'm a sexy man. That's just who I am. I'm not sleazy. I'm not sneaky. I'm sexy. You remove everybody around me, I'm still sexy. I'm fun. I'm entertaining. I'm enriching. And I master all aspects of my life. And I make my life a true masterpiece. Okay, so those are interesting ideas. I want to hear from you guys.
This is Akash. I've got a couple questions. Or I've got one question.
Please.
Really. Will you give a couple examples of what a committed and self-assured man sounds like? I know you've spoken a bit about this throughout the call and given a couple examples, but hearing, I guess, not only the mindset, but also the types of things this man would say.
Okay, that would be treating it backwards. That's still the old paradigm of men thinking that there's certain characteristics that are more attractive to women and trying to look for them. When we get used to a paradigm, we buy into it, and we go in circles. So we have, and many have contributed in this field throughout the years of, okay, what would be the really attractive man, the self-sufficient man, and so on. But right there, we have the core point. The core point is to remove that sense of investment that is there initially, and how do we measure it? So here's your one answer that will impact positively everything else. Okay? One answer is this. Whenever we find ourselves slightly battered before or after by the possibility that the woman is not responding the way we want, okay? We're battered by her being indifferent, her being attracted to somebody else. We're battered. That means we were invested. We're invested in her. As we were invested in her, we were overly invested because we were not aware that it'd be wonderful if something happens with her, but it's not dependent on that one person over there. That one person could even call me an asshole and say that I'm disgusting, when the next person might have a completely different attitude. So that's overinvestment. What would be the new measure? The guy talks to the girl. She says nothing. Nothing happened. The guy does not question himself. That's self-reliance. I don't need a woman to come and say that I'm great. I don't need a woman to like me. I don't need her to talk to me. I don't need her to stop. I don't need her to smile at me. I don't need anything because I don't wait for people to give me those things because that would make me dependent. And it's an investment that violates the dynamic of calls. I gotta be at calls. The man is at calls. The sun. The planet revolves around the sun in our solar system. Okay? Outside of that, we don't know. Or I don't know, but outside of what we know, we don't know. Okay? So we have the way to measure it. The measure, set a standard, and you won't be there most of the time. This is going to be a process of discovery. For me, it's a discovery. And I don't judge myself. So more often than not, I go, it bothered you a little bit that this person didn't look at you when you looked at them. So you were a little bit invested. That investment makes you dependent on them. It's unattractive for a woman to have a man that doesn't even know her begin that way. Okay? So you got to go back to regardless. I don't depend on that woman smiling. My success is coming. I'm paying my dues. I'm doing the work. And bottom line is I am me. And as much as I would prefer to have my life involve the presence and participation of women, in the worst case that it would never happen, I would promise you that I would still have an amazing life. Now, see, that gets scary right there. Doesn't it get scary? Imagine your new assignment is have an amazing life without ever having women in it. Wow, that's scary. That's the void we fear and we try to fill. We need to face that void inside instead. And how do we face it? Not perfectly. Stay with it a little bit. Ease. And come back to this understanding. And set your mind on this little system that I just shared and let go of looking for the one external quality, because all those qualities are just a manifestation of a deeper level of self-reliance. What would be ultimate self-reliance? And if you want to really find your true attraction, your true self, your true fashion, I'm conducting experiments right now. Imagine that suddenly there's not ever, something feels a little different here. Let me see. No, we're good. Imagine that there's not ever a woman on this planet again. Okay? How would you dress? What would you do? How would you do it and why would you do it? And now you have found your core. And from that core, you begin to be self-reliant. I'm good of my own. It's going to happen no matter what, because with that mindset, of course, great things are going to happen. Now what I'm going to make sure is that if it seems to me that something could happen, I'm going to stay totally poised and I'm not going to invest in it. Now here's the trick. That's why this is a process and we must address it from so many different angles. And that's life and it will always be like that. If we want a life that's worth living, we must live it every day and find more worthy ways to live it. So that means we're in that refinement, expansion, discovery within, without optimization for a lifetime. So to make all that we have talked about more optimal, we must also include the element that we're all conditioned to go about life in certain ways. And the majority of people, I say that a million times, I don't mean to say it again, but hear it. The majority of people, they base what they do on functionality. It's functioning. It's not exploding. The building didn't collapse. The company didn't go bankrupt today. It's functioning. I did through my day. I went to work. I was a little moody and I was a little late and I got a little tired, but I did it. It's functional. So we buy into systems that are functional and we think they are optimal. What we must do is realize most of the Jew is doing what is functional. Then we got to be interested in optimal. See, in the frame of functional, it would be easy to equal the wrong things, to think being uninvested, not investing would mean being slow, being kind of lazy, and not do much, and being indifferent. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking that you're doing your thing, but you're doing it for you. You're doing it for the art. You're doing it as a rehearsal that if ever you do have very interesting candidates in front of you, you will show up at your best, and you treat the your work the same way. You don't do it. See, those people who work for the money, who work for the paycheck, they're dependent, and they got the dynamic backwards. They're violating a natural law. Those people who do things so people will like them, backwards. Those companies who go, oh, I know, if we sell that thing with all that sugar, people are going to love it. Backwards, it's ruining the environment. It's working against us. This is one thing, core scarcity that must heal, the fear that we're not going to have any causes everybody to make rush decision, to compromise, to sell themselves short, to push too hard, and then the dynamic gets all mixed up all over the place. And we need to correct that dynamic one person at a time. Since you are you, you correct it you, and you go, okay, I'm self-reliant, meaning my success does not depend on having a woman that really loves me. I do want that, or several women, or on sex. You know, you are the master. Sex is your bitch. So I'm uninvested, but I'm fast, I'm smooth, and I'm growing all the time. Now we got the proper dynamic. But that the trick is that if we do it hoping that that's going to get us to get, first, we're not going to go deep enough for this to be truly impactful. And second, it's going to backfire. So the true goal would be, okay, let me really be the self-reliant man. What if I spend the rest of my life being very successful and happy, but I'm never around people anymore? We're not saying you're going to do that. Don't take it literally. There's always one person that takes words literally. We're not saying that. We're saying that's where you're going to find your true power. And we're also saying that's where you're going to become aware of how concerned of that we were. Because, see, anything that's rooted in fear will fall apart. Anything that's rooted in fear will fall apart. Somebody write this down for your own thing. Anything that's rooted in fear will fall apart because fear is false. We have nothing to worry about. We are not remembering that we won the sperm race. We went through our own birth. We didn't orchestrate our own birth. Our body grew. So what? So then we're a grown-up adult and we think that when it comes to money, love, sex, romance, it's only up to us and we need to control all of this and we're not going to be provided and we're not going to be okay. And that miracle that started with the birth and the planets and all of that is going to come short. Okay, we got it all. I give you the body. I give you the growth. I make your body work. I give you birth. I give you all of this and so on. But then when it comes to money and the dynamic of attraction, you're on your own. Fuck you. Good luck. You guys are my reality show. I'm the universe. I'm just going to watch you guys fail miserably. That was my intention. Oh my God, I'm so amused. No, it's nonsense. But all of us, where do we exist? We try to mask scarcity. We try to mask the fear that we may not have someone, that we may not have what we want, that we may not become who we really want to be, that we may not have as much as we want to have. And then we're fighters, we're survivors, we want, so we don't realize we're building a castle on quicksand. We got to build it on solid rock. And we're building game on insecurity, and then we don't see it, and we're also surrounded by people who would not even be interested in hearing what is being said here. So, of course, you see every guy at a nightclub. You know, I heard a little video from this guy. I never met him, but a colleague of mine, a Cajun, and he was talking about, like, even if you're super indirect in a bar, it's still obvious that you're a guy trying to talk to a girl. They are not stupid, okay? So even if you're super indirect, it's still, okay, we're still a guy. So from that perspective, we need to know that all those guys are going to give you the shot. You're in a nightclub and you're surrounded by guys with no game, no strength, that are giving it one shot. And that's a low reference. So then we go and we hear it. Okay? There's a virus, an abscess at the core. I hear every day dozens of guys, they're well-intended, they got pretty good game, but I hear it. They go, okay, I said that to the girl and this, and then she left. It doesn't take much to realize his tone of voice just changed right there. He tensed a little bit. He's bothered. He's not bothered like crying on the floor and he's on the bridge and he's saying he's going to jump and the fire department is there and everybody's saying, no, don't do it. Okay? But he is bothered a little bit. Why is he bothered? See, I'm an engineer, but a metaphysicist. So I go, why would he be bothered? Why? Where am I bothered like that? I see it. I feel how I'm bothered. Well, but because I'm invested. But how can I be invested into one thing when there's all those other things? Ah, because I'm a little scarce. Well, what is that scarcity? Let's work it backwards. Why wouldn't I be able to just be in a nightclub? I talk to a girl. She goes, you weird. And I either walk away with me indifferent, or I just put my attention elsewhere, or I burst into laughter, or I get curious and I go, what do you mean? But not a curiosity where I'm ready to pick a fight, just like I'm fascinated. So here's a person who's saying this. So I was very happy today. I shared a quote on Facebook, quote, and somebody shared it elsewhere. And there's a man that looks fairly bright, well-educated, probably a beautiful person, that made a comment where he really questioned the quote, and he said, or whomever would say that would be a fool. And part of me, I was tempted to just say, what about the person who says somebody else is a fool? Wouldn't they be a fool? But then I would say, no, Vince, because in a way, you're doing the same thing. You're a fool telling a fool that they shouldn't call you a fool. So you're not a fool, Vince. You know it. So I just said, hey, live and let live. It's all right. If this man does not like the quote, that's fine. I'm not so needy and so insecure, but it took me a long time to get there. Okay? I was overly reactive. So why? Because I'm not sure that I may get, and I really want to get, and you want to get. And right there, it's a smaller part within us. It's not smaller, but it's vulnerable. It's young, you know? What we got to realize, I'm not one who's big in taking it literally when we go work with the inner child. One of my mentor, Marshall Silver, would always joke around and go like, what do you mean the inner child? I have a child inside of me. But truth is that we never left this incarnation until we leave it. So for the time being, we're still carrying imprints that were there when we were 2, when we were 1, when we were 17, when we were 12, from yesterday, from the day before. So as a grown-up man, to take charge of our lives, and women the same thing, we need to start to sort them, to examine them. And no one is insecure. But if we don't examine something, we can go back to the same rewiring, the same rot. You know, we just had Thanksgiving. You heard that silly ass story about Thanksgiving. Okay? The preparing, the turkey, and it's so cliche. I heard it this morning. My mom shared it with me. But, you know, at the end, I said, yeah, I know the story, mom. You should have told me. I said, no, because stories like that, we need to hear them again. That's why we hear them so often. So there, too, I graduated from being like, I know the story. Teach me something new. No. So they're in the kitchen, and suddenly somebody realizes that they're cutting both ends of the turkey. And they go, why do we cut the ends? Oh, because that's how we do it. Really? That doesn't seem to make sense. Well, your mother is there. Let's go ask her. So I say, oh, yeah, my mother was doing it. They go all the way to the oldest one in the family, and they go, well, why do you cut the end of the turkey? Oh, we started to do that because at home the oven was so small, we had to cut those two parts. So oftentimes we still operate from the same wiring that was there at a time when we were not where we are today. So today realize very genuinely, you really want. And you're already self-sufficient. You don't become self-sufficient. You're already an attractive man. You don't become that. Yeah, you got to groom. But grooming, usually, the garments that we wear and so on, it's either that we never paid attention to it, so we can turn that into a study, but not asking girls. You ask girls for game. But if a girl says, oh, you should wear this, you don't wear that. You you do some research, or it could be a little mission, or it could just be that you never really learned that you're so precious and valuable that you need to keep yourself super well-groomed, and a beautiful gift, when you put it in nice wrapping. So whatever your choice of wrapping is, wrap yourself up nicely, okay? So I'm very happy with what translated in this call. It's been very, very, very rich. I'm open to take maybe one more little interaction. There's so much going on right now. I'm simply going to say this if you're listening here. This is an amazing time of acceleration, okay? For me, I'm on a quest. I'm on a mission. Yeah, I'll be with you in a second. So I'm simply going to say this. There's a lot going on right now at all levels. The podcast that you're listening to, I'm doing a series of interviews with all my colleagues. I'm being interviewed by a whole bunch of people. I'm about to be on radio. We are releasing new YouTube clips every other day. We have membership programs. There's a convention coming up and so on, because for me, my dedication to this art, I want to take it all the way. My vision is this. My vision is certainly we have a genuine man, well-intended, no matter what age he might be, no matter what happened to him. He's open-minded and he's willing to do his part. He's not a freeloader or a guy who is more invested into what he couldn't do than what he could do. But he's genuine, okay? And he's willing to understand it's a process that very rapidly we help this person to get it in record time, because that's part of true evolution and acceleration. You know, what it took like so long to do, it's funny that they call it Messenger right now. Hey, yeah. Well, should I video you on Messenger? Because, Messenger, initially it was done with a horse or birds. So in the same way, there's no reason why you guys cannot produce wonderful results in your life faster than we ever did before. Somebody was going to ask something. I'm ready to interact with you.
Hey, please. Yeah, I have a question. I've been going out and doing charging and getting some phone numbers, but I'm finding that I'm getting the dates and I'm dating like some serious beautiful women, but like during the date I'm finding that I'm becoming like dull and not exciting, and I'm trying to figure out like what can I do to help me be like more exciting and more I guess just be more exciting and interesting in general.
Here's what my answer is going to make you laugh, and I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, okay?
Go for it.
Because, life is seasons. So that's not my answer yet, but life is seasons. And there's not one person alive on this planet that has not gone through bottoms, through very difficult moments, to confusion, to also mischief. All of us, we have done more mischief than we like to admit in our own way. So total sympathy and compassion for any human condition. But here's your answer. You ask, what should you do about that? Here's the answer. Everything. 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 Because you are you, and you cannot treat any matter of your life lightly. You heard how you asked the question. And this is not judgment. This is just to help you. And you are there usually because habitually, if we don't have much at stake, see, all of us humans, we're the same, okay? All of us, we're the same. You put anyone in a fairly comfortable situation with no pressure, no immediate pressure, okay? There's no like, dude, the sheriffs are at your place. They're grabbing your fucking furniture and they're taking your car. And that may have happened to people and you realize you rise from it. So it's no big deal. But there's no like hardcore pressure. Then the truth is we're not going to change very much. And we're not going to go towards the change in a way that's intense enough for us to change. And if we hear an idea, there's so much you could do. There is so much. You know, the guys that are regular, we've just done some self-hypnosis. We've done some time efficiency work. You got to touch on it all. For me, I have, like, my curiosity all day long. I want to learn. If I pass by a building that looks a little more peculiar, I want to know, what's that building? A building like that, it's from what era? Is this fairly recent? and I don't waste time, you know, but I just, it's my life, it's my day, it's my moment, it's my minute. It's do or die. So here's the challenge, okay? I've seen it in me, I've seen it in everybody. That middle place where it's not bad, it's actually pretty good. There is some good, and the bad is not. Once in a while, it wears off, you know, that imbecile, or, oh, man, I'm tired today. Oh, man, I'm pissed. But it's not, like, so bad that you got to turn around and you got to change your whole life. And if you don't, that's it. You have no choice, okay? Or on the other hand, it's not like, oh, why? If you just do this a little bit more, then, my God, that could be such a payoff. Such a payoff, okay? See, for example, I've been on CNN, NBC, BBC, Sky, CBC Television, Channel 4, KTLA. I've been featured in Penthouse, Sky, The Washington Post, The Sun, SF Weekly, Cosmopolitan Magazine, Playboy Radio, and the list goes on and on and on, okay? Now, that means that it could be that maybe the next one thing of that type that I hit is just like, boom, I just don't know. So I'm juiced, and I'm not saying that to show off or to suggest you should do it that way. But the problem is that position that impairs your perspective, and you are kind of too casual about it. So go to war, so to speak. Okay, I'm a person, I want world peace. But I like the idea of going to war, do or die. And there's two options. There's three, actually. One option is, you know, I give you an idea right now, and you play with it a little bit. It's not going to change much. It's not. For things to change, we need true leverage. Okay, you got to be, it's got to be a campaign. You got to go on a campaign over there. It's
got
like,
it.
I'm okay with this and so on. Now, that it's not going to change. The other one is you may sustain for quite some time, but eventually life will present the bottom or an opportunity that we will miss. We're preparing every day for opportunities. We don't know what person will come. We don't know. You know, in my deepest moment of desperation, wrestling, debating whether my first wife had cheated on me or not, and going crazy over it, and not even having the presence of mind to say, hey, listen, I'm wrestling in my head. You got to tell me the truth, okay? Or say, okay, well, then you should be with that girl and getting another one. Okay, in those moments, I could not foresee all the women that would come, and had I known, I would have done just one thing back then. I wouldn't even have worried about it. I would have prepared. Because your opportunities are going to come, and your challenges are going to come. The third position is you don't buy into the illusion of comfort right now. You know every day that you're at a place of extreme opportunity. You got to prepare no matter what. And we just don't know how soon something could work against us. Okay? So my answer is this. Do everything. Everything. And optimize at all levels. Everything. I don't know what form of exercise you like, brother, but go at it like ferocious, like you're training for fucking competition. If you have a physical restriction, then you're training for competition in that physical restriction. You see, meaning for me, I used to do taekwondo. Today, if I kick, it's not going to be healthy for the place where I had the lower back surgery. But I could become the guy that finds a way to train that is supportive to that condition. So don't go and push if you have restrictions, but expand within solutions for those restrictions. Spiritually, you got to connect. You got to find, it could be anything, you know, you could, but we got to feel connected, alive, and so on. Your affairs, just start to take care of them. And women, just let go. The true champion will never be satisfied. So for me, that's the beginning of the problem when a guy goes, yeah, I get to the good girls and I have no problem opening. That's part of the problem. A real champion will always go, okay, how do I open in a way that is above and beyond everything? And we also need to transcend game. During the next couple of weeks, stay tuned with me. I'm going to do a lot of very interesting lectures and so on about looking back, and this will, the benefit for you guys will be a perspective. I'm going to observe what happened to the guys that showed up 15, 20 years ago that really wanted to game girls, okay, that first generation. What happened to the generation after that? What happened to those who just like disappeared? Who are the ones that stay strong? What did they do? And now how can we take it to the next level? Because, you know, the paradigm, the protocol, the frames of mind of even the best of games that we have known so far, in the words of Einstein, it's not going to be enough in the new decade. Okay? So, all of us, you really get inspired. Connect. You know, I started today. I didn't record that part. I finished with this. I had an amazing journey in the park. And I lead a program called Cobra King, Cobra King. And we're about to start a second cycle. We do not advertise that program because it takes people just like hardcore. We model like the toughest ones, Navy SEALs and so on. And we train our minds and we train ourselves with habits and so on. So I've been doing some hardcore stuff. I've been following the most intense regimen ever in my life. But to be honest, it's still pussy shit. Okay? It's still like, and I like that. I've reached a place in my life where I don't need the pat in the back. I'm not going to be the guy who goes, yeah, my problem is, and I'm not going to criticize myself. But I'm sufficiently self-assured to also know where, hey, come on, that's a fucking joke. That's a joke right there, brother. Yeah, I talk like that to myself. So today, I was meditating in the park. I usually wake up 3 a.m., go to the gym, make my video for Cobra. Right after that, I do a cold bath. I do Kundalini. I get to my business. I just like do as much as I can. I want to be the guy that by the time other people get up, all that I need to take care of, the troublesome, the uneasy stuff, the stuff that's not, that we all have to do, we dislike to do, I've done them already. Then a cold bath, then a sauna, then I go to a spiritual gathering, and then I go power walk in nature, then I meditate. Today I'm meditating in nature, and then suddenly I leaned forward, and I looked at the ground, and I heard a voice saying, me, look real close to the ground. So I was looking at dirt in front of me, and then I heard a voice say, you're on the right side of it. You're not under. You're above ground. You're not under. You're above ground. You're not under. And it repeated itself until I realized, wow, I have every reason to be so grateful today. I feel blissful. I have every reason to give this day everything that I have. I have every reason to give my loved ones, anybody I care for, everything. I have every reason, even though when I started this podcast today, I work hard, so I was a little sleepy. It took me a second to bring the concept, like crystallize it, okay? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All of me was throughout the day like, oh, man, I wish I could sleep. It doesn't matter. I have every reason to make a difference, and I hope I made a little bit of a difference in your life, but that's not my responsibility. It's yours. So make a big difference in your life. We need to evolve. We need to know that you can't omit anything. We're above ground. Life is tricky. It goes very, very fast. Every day I suggest you do this. You find, you look at people and you go, who is the oldest man alive that I'm going to see today? The oldest male alive. And when you detect that person, be with them for a second. Observe them. Don't creep them out. If you can help them with something, you know, but within reason, don't. Frighten them, but if you see a little distress, help. If you can grant them a little smile, a little nod, and then go and wonder what are all the opportunities that person didn't see. So you gotta do shit like this, because why do today, I live in Hollywood, California, why the fuck would I spend time staring at the ground and reminding myself you're above ground, you're not below, and I stay with it like that. I just don't do like in front of a nice cup of tea, say, I'm grateful I'm alive today. I don't do it this way. I want to look at the dirt. I looked at a stone after that. I said, see your fucking name on that stone right now. See your fucking name on that stone. Look at the ground. you're going to be under at some point. And then I looked at everybody in the park, and I look at my girlfriend, and I go, everybody. And there's not one single guy, whether they were your haters, your friends, your enemy, whomever they fucking were, no matter what they had done to you, that's not at some point going to be under the ground. Why would I do this? Why would I sit and look at a very old man and wonder what it's like? Life was like, wonder how many people that he had little quarrels with are still alive and how many are dead. Wonder all of the places that he used to love to go to that are no longer. Now, it's a fucking parking lot, and if anybody heard him say, well, I used to come here when it was this and that, most people would feel like it was so long ago. I played a video to my girlfriend the other day of Bandit Wanda Jackson, okay? And then suddenly, that's my next time. I'm going to have to go. Suddenly she goes, oh, that was a long time ago. I go, baby, you're full of shit. That's what people say so they avoid having to face the fact that we're all passing. I said, you're 29 years old right now. This video was 50 years ago. Okay? No, it was 60 years ago. So that's just your life plus one lifetime like that. That's not that long ago. And I saw her face go, oh, shit, he's right. So my point in saying those things, if you wait for your life to get so messy that you have no choice but fight to death to really succeed, or if you wait for the big opportunity to be there, so now you're thrilled and you're no longer going through your day, you are going to the big meeting or you're going to sign the million-dollar contract, then it's probably not going to happen on the top side, and it's probably going to happen on the bottom side, and you'll be fucked by then. Instead, in the comfort of every day, remind yourself you have no right to be comfortable for you. Don't be comfortable. It's a lie. It's an illusion. Be pleasant. Be at ease. Be blissful. But don't buy into your comfort. So my answer is, what should I do for this or that? What should I do for this or that? What should I do for this or that? Everything. All right. Love you guys. Bye.